Major support for Out to Lunch is provided by the law firm of Jones Walker, established in 1937 with over 375 attorneys in offices throughout the U.S., providing a comprehensive range of services to a local, national, and international client base. JonesWalker.com. And by the Alliance Safety Council, delivering instructor-led on-site computer lab and online training through more than 100 authorized training providers in 31 states and 2 countries. Headquartered in Baton Rouge, Alliance is focused on the future of learning technology and training process innovation for business and industry, for safety and other corporate training needs. More information is at AllianceSafetyCouncil.org. And by Shorten Associates, legal recruiters in Louisiana and Texas. And Orange Theory Fitness, delivering fitness results for a healthier world.
From Mansur's on the Boulevard in Baton Rouge, we're out to lunch with editor of the Baton Rouge Business Report, Stephanie Regal. It's business, Baton Rouge style.
Hi, I'm Stephanie Regal. Welcome to Out to Lunch. Today on our show, we welcome a friend and special guest who's been a great resource for us on this show, Charlie D'Agostino. Charlie is the executive director of LSU's Innovation Park, a dedicated complex for research commercialization that consists of 5 business incubators and a host of business and technological resources to help budding entrepreneurs get off the ground. Charlie's here to tell us about a new program he recently launched with the Office of Veterans Affairs, Louisiana Economic Development, and Governor John Bel Edwards' office. It's a program to help military veterans learn how to start their own businesses. It consists of online training and a day-and-a-half-long boot camp. Unlike the boot camps most military veterans are used to, Charlie, it's a great idea and something that is so badly needed. So we look forward to hearing about it. Thanks for joining us
Absolutely.
On Out to Lunch.
Thank you.
Also joining me for lunch today is Regina Hatcher, who is in the assisted living business, which is a high demand and rapidly growing sector of the economy and also something that is badly needed. Regina is director of the Blake at the Grove, one of Baton Rouge's newest and most cutting edge elder communities with independent living, assisted living, and memory care. It's situated within the 118-acre neighborhood development just off I-10 behind the Mall of Louisiana and offers upscale retail stores, restaurants, multiple housing options, and a full-service hotel, not to mention pedestrian and bike paths. This is not your grandmother's old folks' home. Regina brings years of experience to the Blake at the Grove. She previously was executive director at Sunrise Assisted Living, and she's also a friend of Charlie's. So we're going to have lots of fun. Regina, thanks for being here. Welcome to Out to Lunch.
Thank you.
Well, Charlie, let's start with you. Where did the idea for this Veterans Entrepreneur Program come from?
Well, we have been working with Syracuse University and 8 other universities around the country on doing a boot camp, entrepreneurship boot camp for veterans with disabilities. This was through the College of Business and the Stevenson Entrepreneurship Institute. And the problem with it, it was a fabulous program, but Syracuse sent us people down here, veterans, and we had no control over that, and we rarely had Louisiana veterans. Most of the veterans were from Minnesota. We had people from Alaska. We had them from all over the country, and we had a very, very small percentage. And so we talked to Don Pearson at Louisiana Economic Development, and of course he and John Bel Edwards, our governor, are both West Point military people, and they knew about our program, and they said, we need to do something for Louisiana. This is wonderful. We'll continue the Syracuse program. We'll still do that program, but let's add to it a component that would be just Louisiana. So it's open only to
Fantastic.
Louisiana veterans and National Guard members.
And how many are in it, and what does it teach them?
Well, what we're shooting for, and it's a three-session type program. The first session, we have about 15 or 20 veterans. It's kind of like our pilot program. And it's an online portion where we really help them with a business idea and developing a business plan and looking for financing options. And my counselors work with them just through the internet and through the phone until the face-to-face boot camp, which will be on October 17th. Our goal is to get 100 veterans in the program during the year. And so we will do some additional programs. The first boot camp is going to be in Baton Rouge because, again, it's the pilot. But we may end up doing one at some of the military bases, maybe Barksdale or Leesville or even Belle Chasse.
And what is the need for this? I mean, have you heard of veterans having trouble launching their own businesses, or is it just because they, you know, out of the loop or I think psychological?
These people, many of them have been in the military for several years. They've come up with really good ideas, but they really don't have any resources to help them achieve those aspirations. And so that's one thing. And the other thing too, we just talked about, we are so appreciative to these veterans who commit their life to mm-hmm. making us free and helping us, live a good life like we live. And so we've got to do something for them. And so whatever it takes to help them make their dreams reality, we're committed to do that. And of course, the governor and Louisiana Economic Development have, given us the resources to be able to do this.
That's wonderful. Well, speaking of need, Regina, there's a huge need for senior living facilities in this market, I guess, with the population aging, baby boomers maturing. The Blake really seeks to address that need and runs the gamut, right? I mean, you start and you go in when you're healthy and 60 or 70-something, and you stay until you're in memory care.
Hopefully not everyone ends up in memory care, but you're correct. Baton Rouge desperately needed. It had been over 25 years since there was a new independent living open in this city. And the need was there because it's high-end. As we all know, Baton Rouge has moved a lot into that 70809, 70810 zip code. So now we're there to offer them something that they haven't had in that area of town. Nice. My community is beautiful. I mean, I'm just so proud. It's like a resort. It's a senior resort. We've got everything from swimming pool to fitness center. And I want to piggyback a little bit because a lot of people don't realize with assisted livings that veterans, if they serve during active wartime, mm-hmm. they may be eligible for something from the Veterans Administration called aid in attendance.
Okay.
That will actually help pay while they live in assisted living and or memory care. And it's something that I encourage all veterans to check
that
out
is so interesting.
And see, because so many have no idea that this is even available to them.
Wow. And independent living, I mean, this really is just like a resort. I mean, it's just like an adult community.
It is.
And then beyond that, you progress to certain levels of assistance.
Exactly. Independent living, you have to be 55 to move in. I've had many a college
student. Do you have people that young in their 50s?
I do have somebody in my 50s.
Wow.
Yes, I do. I do. And people are like, why do they want to move there? Well, why not? You get two meals a day, housekeeping, all your utilities are paid for, activities. Yeah, we actually had a group go over to Charlie's Pasta Place the other day because we were traveling to Italy. And he was sending me pictures of folks enjoying it quite immensely.
How much does it cost? I mean, it's this is upscale, so you're targeting
upscale,
the higher end of the market.
Independent living, my least expensive apartment starts at $2,950 a month.
Okay.
And we're able to help families see that if you take out what you pay at home, what it costs, I can almost convince you you're living for free.
Wow. And Charlie, you're helping create opportunities to bring other facilities like this here?
Well, yes. I mean, and Regina and I have been talking. One of the reasons why we've had a lot of conversation, my mother, who just passed away when Regina was at Sunrise, at almost 101.
Wow.
She blitzed past 100 and was moving in on 101. But I had a lot of personal experience. And then, of course, Regina was fabulous in taking care of Mom. I felt very comfortable in leaving her there. She enjoyed it because Mama was had her own house in Kenilworth. And and so the kids and grandchildren would go visit. And we'd always, during the day, we couldn't be there. We're working. And so she'd be sitting in her house, and she may have the TV on. And I'd say, hey, Mom, what'd you do today? And she said, looking at these four walls. Well, we started thinking, that's not quality of life. She's still healthy. She's still able to do a lot of things. She was still able to take care of herself. But by moving her into an assisted living facility, she was around a lot of people her age. Like she mentioned, they take them on tours. They play bingo. They play cards. They, have their meals. And so we didn't have to worry about Mama cooking and burning the house down or burning herself. And so that was my my experience in that from a very personal experience.
Sure.
But through some consulting I do, we've been working with people not in the Baton Rouge area, but in other parts of the state and the country. to actually develop assisted living. And the AARP did a study, and I think it's we in Louisiana have 11 units per 1,000 people 65 and older. When they feel that in the state to be competitive and to, I mean, not competitive, but to cover the market, we need 35 to 40 per 1,000.
Wow, and so we have like just a third to a fourth as many as we need.
And then when places like the Blake open up, which would attract those younger people who aren't ready totally for assisted living, but just senior living, and you know, that really makes it attractive. And as those people transition, and in this research I've been doing, you know, you have that same address. You know, you started at senior living, you go to assisted living, and if you need memory care. And so from the family to continue to go to the same address is very important. And also for the person, the resident, to not be traumatized by moving from here to there to there.
Sure.
And so it's all in one place.
That's fantastic.
And I think a point he talked about, it's relationships. When Charlie, when they decided that it was time for Reed to move, they kept telling her, you're going to go live with Regina, which, of course, Charlie and I have been friends for a year or two, many more than that. I think she truly thought they were moving her into my house at home because, okay, I'm going to go now live with Regina. But she did. She thrived there. And no one comes up to the door going, yippee skippy, I'm moving into senior living. It is a huge adjustment, and we realize that. It is not an easy thing. But I tell everyone, if you give us 30 days,
give us 30 days,
you're going to like it. And if you don't like it, then you should leave, because the last thing you want is somebody that's unhappy and miserable. But it gives families the peace of mind of knowing that there's someone around 24 hours a day to meet the needs of their loved ones.
Now, I know there's one nearby under development, or maybe it's already open. There is more competition coming into the market, for sure.
There is, and again, there's room for everyone.
Yeah.
People get a little nervous about it, especially your owner groups, get very nervous about their investments. But as Charlie stated, population's aging.
Yeah.
And I think today I was at a seminar and something like 10,000 people a day turn 65, which is crazy in this country. So when you put it in that perspective, what I have found from being in this industry so long is that people in Louisiana wait too long.
Mm-hmm.
They wait too long to make that move. Everybody wants to stay in their home. Well, moving, it's just a change of address. You're still in your home. You bring your things, you bring your furniture, your pictures. It's a change of address. And again, give me that 30 days, they're going to love it.
That's a good point. Who owns the Blake?
The Blake is owned by two investor groups. One is Cardinal Ventures and the other is CR Properties.
And they own several around the country, I presume?
They own in the Southeast, yes.
Okay, okay.
They do.
You're listening to Out to Lunch. I'm Stephanie Regal. We're talking to Regina Hatcher of the Blake at the Grove and Charlie D'Agostino about the Veterans Entrepreneurship Program at LSU's Innovation Park. We'll be right back after this very short break. You're listening to Out to Lunch. I'm Stephanie Regal. We're talking to Regina Hatcher of the Blake at the Grove and Charlie D'Agostino about the Veterans Entrepreneurship Program at LSU's Innovation Park. Well, Charlie, what tell me about some of the, speaking of businesses like the Blake, what are some of the businesses your veteran entrepreneurs are interested in starting? Have y'all gotten to the point yet where you're talking specific ideas?
Absolutely. They're, you know, my counselors are meeting with them, and we bring in speakers. We'll bring in an accountant or an attorney, or you know, a marketing specialist, someone in social media, and so they have a kind of a seminar portion online, and then they'll start writing up their business plan, and my counselors will go in and ask questions, edit it, you know, just kind of work with them, and then our MBA grad students literally can do market assessments and those kinds of things. But it's everything. It's from retail to you know, many of these military people are working in cybersecurity and IT, and so they've gotten this tremendous training, and so now that they're going out into the real world, they don't want to go back and take another just a job. So I've been trained by the military to do these certain things, and now I think there's a business for that. So we help them with those kinds of things. So it runs, I mean, totally across the board. You know, a couple of them were doing organic farming. They wanted to develop an organic farm. So there's no There's no one slot that fits all. For this.
And so they start with the online training, and that's, I mean, basic business how-tos, as one might imagine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and main thing we want to do is when we come together for that face-to-face boot camp, we want them to be ready and refined to the point that, you know, we can do the finishing touches, and then they can go back into their community, and we'll help them raise capital or get some additional networks built. And so the online portion basically is to take that idea and help them focus it until they get it into, you know, a somewhat of a pretty good plan. And then my people are really working with them and will be very frank and honest that, you know, whoa, wait a minute, that's not going to work, or there's already something out there like that. And so we've got to tweak it. And so it's a process.
Right.
And then I would think after if the 100 people that we get into this program during the year, I think what we're going to find is, you know, probably, you know, maybe 50%, 60% will just go get a job somewhere. But it's still a good process for them to go through, and then the others will launch. But
do y'all charge them?
No. It's free. We do have a registration fee, and I'll tell you the reason for it. It's not because of the money, but if I give you a free program, you're not committed. You won't participate. You may not
do
your homework, but once you've got skin in the game, you know, mm-hmm. then you're going to be more, you know, you're going to actually, you know, do more work and make it a real thing. And then also, you can't start a business if you can't afford a $100 registration fee.
Sure.
And so we, you know, that's kind of a screening process.
Okay. Is there like the equivalent of a GI Bill today? Something?
Oh, there's all sorts of veteran programs. In fact, we will probably have a banker come in and talk about some of these veteran business loans. And so there are some incentives for that. And we'll just make those available. We don't handle those ourselves, but we'll make sure they get access to that.
Speaking of federal programs, do federal subsidies come into building elder care facilities at all, or?
For assisted livings, they're all private pay unless you've got a level 4 license in this state, which means you can do Medicare and Medicaid, and there's only 2 in this state. It's just assisted livings are different from nursing homes in that aspect.
I see.
So we are private pay. We don't cost
But I mean
the
for the developer, like you can get, you know, special HUD financing to build apartment buildings downtown.
They do get some type of tax credits, mm-hmm. but since I've never been the developer, I can't truly answer that all the way.
You're Charlie on the other end of the business,
I'm on the other
right?
end. I'm on the opening it up and passing your state regulations.
Now, you mentioned state regulations. The nursing home industry in the state is very, very powerful, and I know that has impacted lots of aspects of business with respect to elder care, with care in the home. How did this come to be, and does that affect what you all do at the Blake?
Absolutely, it does. The Nursing Home Association is extremely powerful. We do have our own assisted living, the Louisiana Assisted Living Association, better known as LALA. And I am privileged to serve as the board chair for LALA this year. And yes, our friends in the nursing home, there are a lot of people that own both nursing homes and assisted living, so they really have to ride the fence. But back in 2015, our regulations were changed for assisted livings. We went from the Department of Social Services to under the Department of Health. When that change was being done and our regulations were being reworked, the Nursing Home Association fought us on many things.
I think I remember
because
that.
It hurts who can go into their beds. A lot of people are under the mistaken impression that nursing homes are free, mm-hmm. that it's paid for. Well, guess what? If you've got any kind of assets, they charge more per day than what an assisted living will charge you.
Wow.
People don't realize that. Our regulations are very strict on what we cannot take. Hmm. And in my opinion, what it states makes sense. You would need nursing care 24 hours a day. People grew up only knowing nursing homes. Assisted livings have only been in the United States for about 36 years.
Yeah.
So they're still relatively new. And people grew up only knowing nursing homes and all the odors and headaches that go with those. And there is still a need for those. There are people that cannot afford assisted livings, and there are people that are on ventilators that do need
sure.
to be in a nursing home.
Sure. But I know there was a long political history in this state of
there are.
And a lot of times the nursing home licensing scandal going back to the 80s, this all just
there
rings
are.
Bells.
And but again, assisted livings
Independent livings do not have to be licensed. Assisted livings do have to have a license, and it's a very stringent. When I was opening, the regulators, two regulators were in, surveyors were in my building for 2 days, and literally if there was a sentence written, we went over that sentence to make sure I was in compliance.
Now, your buildings are in the middle of this beautiful, emerging, like traditional neighborhood development or planned unit development, The Grove. And that's really a trend right now, is to put these elder communities in the middle of all the fun amenities that you were mentioning. Shopping, that's going to walking and hiking trails through there, bike paths. This is different. Like I said, not your grandmother's nursing home. We're seeing this trend across the country.
Absolutely. One of the key things, too, is their location. You know, you have, you know, you're there by the mall. So, you know, if when I would go pick up mom and take her somewhere, you know, you wanted to go somewhere convenient. But the other key thing is in that little area there are all the hospitals.
In the health
district. And all the doctor's offices and the Walgreens and the CVS. And so it's critical that because that's these as we, and I'm gonna use that term, although I'm not quite in there yet, but
close.
You know, we're, you know, that's the kind of thing that we have a demand on medical services, and so by having that, and then again, I remember when mom was there, and if we had to take her to her doctor or take her to the hospital on some occasions, you know, it was great because you're right there, you're not driving all over. And another interesting thing too is that there's, you know, when we hire people at the university and we hire a faculty member, we have a term called trailing spouse, which means the spouse that comes along with the person you hire. Generally, you have to find them a job and do things like that. Well, in the assisted living area, we found out that the kids, you know, like my age, when my mother was ready for assisted living, I'm, you know, if fortunately I lived in Baton Rouge and she did too, but had she lived somewhere else, she would become that trailing parent because I don't want to have to go to Bunkie or Shreveport to visit her. So I'm going to bring her where I work and where my family is. And so that's the good thing about, you know, in Baton Rouge is that people who have now are employed here and they move here, but their parents may be somewhere else. Well, when they're ready for assisted living, you know, you just have to because, the kids have their own children and they can't, you know, be there every day for the parent in another town. So you bring them into your town.
Well, to play on that, I am originally from Memphis, and my mother moved to the Blake at the Grove from Memphis in August.
Did she?
Into independent living. It was all four sisters were down here along I-10. I'm the only one in Baton Rouge. But I'm thrilled, and a niece was over at my house studying, who's a junior at LSU, and she said, "Aunt Regina, Grandmama's just thriving. She's made all these friends, and she's introducing me." And so what Charlie said, though, it was complicated when she was ill a few years ago, and then literally I was running home, almost every other week, right, Charlie? And it is tough. So it's another aspect of when these buildings get built, you're looking at not just people that already live here. I mean, I've had people move from Dallas to move into the Blake. People move their families where they are.
Right. Now, what do you do on a daily basis, Regina? I mean, are you like cruise director or are you strictly administrative?
You know, I tell people I do pretty much whatever is needed. There's two things they don't let me do. They don't let me drive the van because I have a heavy foot, and my chef has not let me cook yet.
Okay.
Now, I love our new dishwasher. I can handle that. But I am pretty much, I never introduce myself as, "Hi, I'm Regina Hatcher, executive director." I will say, "Hi, I'm Regina. I'm one of the people that work here at the Blake. How can I help you?" So it doesn't matter if someone needs a wheelchair pushed, if they need to be toileted, if they just need somebody to sit with them while they're having lunch, if I need to put out a fire because their cox isn't working correctly, whatever it may be. I do whatever it takes. I've learned over the years of being in this industry that I could make a list every day, but it may not get accomplished.
Charlie, what are you doing these days besides running Innovation Park?
Well, that's a good
question. What are some of the most exciting things going on?
You know, I'm serving as past president of the Association of University Research Parks, which is our international research park organization. And so I've been spending, time as the past president. That's a very good job to have, much better than being president. because then you don't have to do quite as much. But just recently I came back from the University of New Hampshire. A couple of my research park colleagues, we went to New Hampshire. They acquired some land. They want to develop a research park.
Wonderful.
And they brought us in to tell them how. And so I've been able to do that. You know, we, with our incubator system at LSU and developing the research park, you know, we're very busy. The property that we have, we're in the process of tweaking our master plan, and we're seeking some funding to put our boulevard in off of Nicholson to really open up about 150 acres for companies. We've got a couple of things working with some companies on maybe putting a energy storage research facility at the park.
Wow.
You know, we just have a lot going on. Our companies are growing. We're having some really good success.
How many tenants in your mini incubators now?
Well, in our incubators, we're probably over 100 companies. In the park itself, we've got about 44 companies. You know, just out there at Innovation Park with the companies we have, we're probably close to 300 employees, and,
wow,
and nobody knows we're there.
No, it's huge, yeah. And it really is. It's one of Baton Rouge's mm-hmm. best-kept secrets.
Mm-hmm.
Regina, what's your long-term plan or your medium-term plan when you look ahead 3 to 5 years?
Well, obviously, I guess the short-term one is to get my building filled. You know, that's the object of any executive director, and then hopefully, I'm a little bit younger than Charlie, but hopefully one day we'll get to retire and do some of that traveling that my husband Steve and I want to do.
Well, good. Well, Regina Hatcher and Charlie D'Agostino, thank you so much for sharing your stories today on Out to Lunch. Y'all have bringing so much energy and innovation to the market, and so we're lucky to have you here in Baton Rouge.
Well, thank you.
Thank
it's
you.
A pleasure to be here.
It was really fun.
My guests today on Out to Lunch have been Charlie D'Agostino of Innovation Park and Regina Hatcher of The Blake at the Grove. You can find out more about Innovation Park and The Blake by following the links on our website. It's batonrouge.la and wrkf.org. The producer of our show is Grant Morris. Our technical producer is Eric Merle. Our associate producer is Peter Rusciuti. And our Baton Rouge business consultants are none other than Charlie D'Agostino and Ann Edelman. You can see photos from this show on itsbatonrouge.la and on our Facebook page. These photos are taken by Ken Stewart. You can get this show as a podcast, you can listen to past shows, and you can keep up with us on all kinds of social media by going to our websites, it's batonrouge.la and wrkf.org. Out to Lunch is a production of INO Broadcasting for it's batonrouge.la and WRKF 89.3 FM. I'm Stephanie Regal. Thanks for joining me. I look forward to meeting you again next week around the table here at Mansur's for more business Baton Rouge style on Out to Lunch.
Out to Lunch Baton Rouge is recorded live over lunch at Mansur's on the Boulevard in Baton Rouge. Mansur's is open for lunch daily 11 to 2, for dinner nightly, and for brunch on Saturdays and Sundays. Mitchell Foreman wrote and performs all the music on Out to Lunch. You can hear Mitchell's music anywhere great jazz is sold or streamed, and at MitchellForeman.com. Major support for Out to Lunch is provided by the law firm of Jones Walker, established in 1937 with over 375 attorneys in offices throughout the U.S., providing a comprehensive range of services to a local, national, and international client base. JonesWalker.com. And by the Alliance Safety Council, delivering instructor-led on-site computer lab and online training through more than 100 authorized training providers in 31 states and 2 countries. Headquartered in Baton Rouge, Alliance is focused on the future of learning technology and training process innovation for business and industry, for safety and other corporate training needs. More information is at AllianceSafetyCouncil.org. And by Shorten Associates, legal recruiters in Louisiana and Texas. And Orange Theory Fitness, delivering fitness results for a healthier world.